Chapter 12, Jules Corral. Later, as we put our trash in the picnic basket to take home, Mara said, "Have you seen your mother since she got home from church?" I shook my head. "Then you haven't heard. I'm going to be looking after Star and Bessie 3 mornings a week. It gives your mom and Mrs. Ashburn the mornings free to do things, and it will be a break for you boys." This was great news. Mom, or more likely Dad, was actually doing something about my babysitting complaints. "When do you start?" "I thought I'd take them both for a little walk this afternoon, just to get them used to the idea." We gathered our things and headed up the path toward Miss Edith's house. "We can play hide-and-seek and pick berries or something." "Star will love it," I told her. After walking Mara home, I headed back to Sharky's. First thing I told him was about the Robinson's dog. "I'll bet Ripper put up one heck of a fight," Sharky said. "Was he eaten?"
"I don't know. Yuck!"
"Usually a panther will bury its kill to hide it from other animals. Then it'll go back later to eat it again. But with Ripper being chained up, the panther wouldn't have been able to drag him away." "The bad news is that Miss Edith is sure it was Rudy who did it." Sharky shook his head. "Ridiculous." The cement we had poured earlier had hardened in the hot sun, and we were ready to put the fence together. The rails were laid out on the ground. Once they were put into place, the post and rail fence would be about 5 feet high. "Do you suppose Jewel could jump the fence once you get it up?" I asked.
"Of course not," Sharky barked. "She couldn't jump that high without more running space."
"The fence won't keep Rudy in," I said. "He'll wriggle under the rails and get out whenever he wants."
"It doesn't matter about Rudy," Sharky said. "Rudy won't leave without Jewel, and Jewel will be stuck in the corral.
Miss Edith says she's seen him heading down to see Ginger."
"How often did he do that? Once? Twice?"
Sharky frowned at me from under the broad rim of his hat.
"Don't be such a wet blanket, Jake. Pete Lowry brought this fence all the way from Tavernier. And by golly, it's going to work, or I'll drop dead trying."
By late afternoon, we had the rails hitched up to the post. One section was set up as a gate with a latch. A cone-shaped wooden pin fit into the shaft to lock the gate. Sharky tried it several times.
"No way this gate can open by itself," he said.
Jewel was already in the center of the corral.
"She's in here to stay."
He seemed pleased. Meanwhile, Rudy had burrowed himself under the bottom rail. He stood outside the fence and paced back and forth, barking at Jewel, who acted troubled. Her long ears were thrust out in different directions. She trotted to where Rudy waited and made strange snorts, a mixture of a horse's whinny and a donkey's bray.
"Too bad, Jewel," Sharky said. "You're stuck in there, so settle down."
The mule walked around the enclosure, slowly circling. Suddenly, like an awkward dancer, Jewel bounded up over the top rail, all four of her hooves easily clearing it. She landed next to Rudy, who was waiting with his tail waving like a flag in the breeze. Sharky and I stood there in our sweaty clothes, covered with dirt and cement dust, and blinked in astonishment. We spent the whole day erecting that fence. Now we realized it would never hold a mule that was able to leap over a 5-foot rail from a standing position.
"I'll be danged."
Sharky grabbed his hat and threw it on the ground. "I saw another mule high jump like that once, but I never dreamed Jewel could do it. This corral won't be much good for holding this mule."
"Well, it is a nice looking corral, Sharky," I said, trying to look on the bright side.
Rudy trotted over to Sharky as if to say, What's the next job on the agenda?" He lapped at Sharky's hand, and his whole body wagged as Sharky petted him. Sharky bent down, and Rudy licked his face and beard. Meanwhile, Jewel had meandered to a sea grape tree whose grape clusters had become ripe. Some had fallen onto the ground, and she was gobbling them up contentedly. Sharky picked up his hat and dusted it off.
"I guess I'll just have to get more timber and add another couple of rungs to the fence. All we need is a few more rails, and Jewel won't get out that easily again." When I returned home, I told Mom and Dad all about my day building the fence.
So Jewel high-jumped the corral? Mom said, laughing.
About then, we heard a loud knocking on the store door downstairs.
Who can that be on a Sunday night? Dad muttered.
He went down and I could hear Sharky's anxious voice. I flew to the stairway with Mom right behind me.
They're gone again, Doug, Sharky was saying. I went into my house for 2 minutes and they both disappeared.
We haven't seen either of them, Dad said.
I'll help you look, I offered, and went to put on my shoes.
Yes, go with him, Jake, Mom called. And while you're at it, bring Star home from Mara's. She went over there with Bessie to visit Mara for a while. Supper will be ready soon.
I've already checked up by the train station, so now I'll head toward the church and cemetery, Sharky explained.
I'll check with the Ashburns, too. Meanwhile, you go down to the shore by way of Miss Edith's place.
Miss Edith was inside when I got there. Smoke was curling up from the chimney, and I could smell onions and cabbage cooking. I hated to inform Miss Edith that the mule and dog were loose again. She was upset when I asked her if she'd seen the two runaways.
No, I haven't seen them, she said. I hope they don't cause any more trouble.
Where's Star? I asked, changing the subject quickly.
She's with Mara and Bessie. They've gone to pick berries and sea grapes down the path.
I ran down the trail that led into the woods and out to the shore. After a short distance, I could hear voices.
Star, I called. Supper's ready.
I came to a wider section of the footpath. The sun shone through the branches of the trees, making flickering patterns in the clearing. I could see Mara and Bessie several feet away, moving among the low branches of the sea grape trees. Star was alone and sitting on the ground straight ahead of me, her long hair falling in her face. She had removed her sandal and was shaking out the stones. Then I saw another shadow on the path. Whatever it was moved along a branch above me. I looked up and froze. High over Star's head, crouching in the twisted branches, was the panther, its golden eyes focused on my little sister.